Well, good morning, everybody. You'll have to forgive my voice. I've got a bad cold, and I hope you can hear me. Just to give me an idea before we start of where you're all coming from, it would be helpful for me to have a rough idea of what discipline you've come to Reading to study. So, how many of you have come to study social sciences of one sort or another? Hands up if you're coming to study social sciences, economics, business studies, all that kind of thing. One of you, right? Two of you. How many people have come to study an arts subject, English or history or languages, whatever? Couple of you, right? How many people are here to study life sciences, biology, botany and so on? Few, right? And how many of you are here to study physical sciences, chemistry or engineering or electronics or whatever? Okay, well that gives me an idea. It gives me the impression that an awful lot of you have not come to study anything at all. My own background is as a physicist, and I've been in the Department of Meteorology for more years than I care to count. One of my interests has been to understand the Earth's atmosphere as one of a whole series of different atmospheres that we see on the different planets in our solar system, and that inevitably leads me to reflect on how those atmospheres formed, how the planets formed, the way they've evolved over time. And hence this talk, which pulls together various ideas from physical science, from the life sciences about time, and ends up with a few reflections on time from a personal point of view. Let's start off with our physicist's view of time. The physicist believes that the universe began some 13.7 billion years ago, and it began with everything squashed into an infinitely small, infinitely dense, infinitely energetic, tiny blob, the so-called Big Bang. This picture is utterly misleading. You can see the Big Bang there, and it's as if it's surrounded by empty space. You must realize that that little blob contains all space and time. There's nothing outside it. It's everything that there is. But matter is and energy is incredibly concentrated. And that blob expanded. It expanded over the first few seconds, and then it expanded more and more slowly. And various changes took place as it expanded. After about 6 seconds, the particles smashing into one another, continually disintegrating, firing off photons of electromagnetic energy, photons colliding and forming particles. After about 6 seconds, that process, the universe had expanded to the point where that process had, the energy had reduced, and it was possible for particles actually to survive a measurable time. And so protons and neutrons began to form. Turns out the neutrons are unstable, the protons are stable. And that first few seconds of the universe fixed the ratio of protons to neutrons in the universe. It's about 6 protons for every neutron. At that stage, there's no matter that we understand. Everything is tiny particles colliding with enormous energy, disintegrating, reforming into different particles. As the universe expands, it becomes cooler and less dense. A critical stage in the development of the universe happened about 360,000 years after the initial start, and that's when the universe became transparent so that radiation could pass through it instead of continually colliding with things. And we saw a great separation then between electromagnetic energy, energy carried by light waves and radio waves and so on, and matter, the protons and the neutrons and so on.